Amen. And take your Bibles, turn to 1 Kings chapter 20. Perhaps a familiar story in the Bible, 1 Kings chapter 20. I just want to read a couple of verses while I tell the story. let's just start at verse 35. 1 Kings 20 and verse 35. We are continuing our theme for such a time as this, a time for service. And we started last Sunday night with obstacles to service. And there are many. We talked about our adversaries, first of all. And number two is our acquaintances. Sometimes it's people we know that are obstacles. They provide obstacles, not necessarily like our adversaries. They're trying to defeat God or defeat the cause of God, but our acquaintances sometimes do provide obstacles as well. And then our attitudes, maybe the number one reason and number one obstacles in our own life, it's us. And it's our attitudes. It's things that we think and things that we just don't deal with very well. And we started on Wednesday with our attitudes. We talked about this attitude: I'm too sinful. I like sin. I just enjoy sin. And somebody who enjoys sin is going to have a hard time serving God. They don't want to clean up. They don't want to accept, a responsibility of serving God and what all that means. They just want to live their life and have sin in their lives. Again, we're talking about Christians here. Paul had to make that choice, and he made the choice. He said, I myself will serve the Lord, but my flesh will serve sin. That's really the best choice we can make, is I'm going to serve God. I'm going to get right with God. I'm going to get my sin right with God, and I'm going to pray that God helps me get rid of that sin. But I'm too sinful is an attitude. Number two was the attitude, I'm too slothful, just laziness. And we'll not serve God if we're lazy. We're going to have a hard time serving God. What happens is when you're lazy, maybe you start out all excited, but you don't finish the job. And that is one of the things we looked at there. So I'm too sinful. I'm too slothful. Number three was I'm too sleepy, weary. Weary and well-doing. It happens all the time. We get weary. And sometimes we get so weary, we just quit serving God. We just don't do anything for God anymore. And we talked about that as well on Wednesday night. Then this morning I preached on I'm too scarred. I have too many scars. I cannot serve God because I've got a bad past. I have things in my life that there's scars in my life, and I can't serve God. And certainly that is not true, as we went through Hebrews 11 and we looked at the Hall of Faith, and we, sad to say, we kind of looked at some scars of some of our heroes. And you know what? That's all God has to use is crooked sticks. That's what Bob Jones Sr. said, and that is so true. Tonight, I want to talk to you about these words. I'm too sidetracked. I'm too sidetracked. Our story, 1 Kings 20. And let's go ahead and start at verse 35. And a certain man of the sons of the prophets said unto his neighbor in the word of the Lord, smite me, I pray thee. And the man refused to smite him. Then said he unto him, because thou hast not obeyed the voice of the Lord, behold, as soon as thou art departed from me, a lion shall slay thee. And as soon as he was departed from him, a lion found him and slew him. Again, this is a man of God who's wanting to make an illustration, and he told somebody, smite me, and the guy wouldn't, and so a lion destroys him. So, interesting. That has nothing to do with what I'm preaching about, but it is interesting. Verse 37, then he found another man, said, smite me, I pray thee. And the man smote him, so that in smiting he wounded him. Again, this is all for the illustration. So the prophet departed and waited for the king by the way, and disguised himself with ashes upon his face. Again, so the king does not know that he's one of the prophets, because he's going to preach to the king, and he's going to give him an illustration. And as the king passed by, he cried unto the king, and he said, thy servant went out into the midst of the battle. And behold, a man turned aside and brought a man unto me and said, keep this man. If by any means he be missing, then shall thy life be for his life, or else thou shalt pay a talent of silver. And as thy servant was busy here and there, he was gone. And the king of Israel said unto him, so shall thy judgment be, thyself hast decided it. So this man said that as he was battling, he was told to watch somebody, a prisoner, and to keep him. He said he got busy doing some other things, and surely sooner or later, the prisoner took off and escaped, and so he was gone. And the king of Israel, okay, he said, okay, here's my judgment. He said, so shall thy judgment be. Thyself hast decided. In other words, you're guilty. And you let this prisoner go. And he hastened and took the ashes. Well, now he shows that he's the man of God. And he took the ashes away from his face. And the king of Israel discerned him that he was of the prophets. And he said unto him, thus saith the Lord, because thou hast let go out of thy hand a man whom I appointed to utter destruction, therefore thy life shall go for his life, and thy people for his people. And the king of Israel went to his house heavy and displeased and came to Samaria. Again, the king of Israel has made his own determination. He has decided his own course. He is going to lose his life over him allowing Ben-Hadad, the enemy, to escape. And according to our illustration from the man of God here, it's because he just was busy here and there. Busy here and there. I'm too sidetracked. You know why a lot of work doesn't get done for the Lord is because we're just too busy. Now, busy is okay and busy is fine. And the issue here in the scripture is it's busy when you ought to be doing something else. You have a job to do. You have an opportunity to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We have an opportunity to serve, in this case, the King. And we get so busy with other stuff, we miss out on a great opportunity. I'm too sidetracked. One of the great obstacles to serving God is we're sidetracked with doing other things. We're busy here and there. Father, I pray you bless the preaching, that you'll speak to our hearts and give us what we need tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We had gotten married, Brenda and I, in 1976, and shortly after that we decided we had to find a church in Marion, Indiana. I've told the story many times of how we found the Marion Baptist Temple at a 4-H fairground, a tent ministry where they were showing the film, The Burning Hell, and the dunk tank with a fella was right next to the tent, and he was mocking the church people and mocking the Christians. And though we were both saved, we were very young in the Lord and very ignorant of things. But I said, we're going to go into that tent, and we're going to go in with that church because that guy's making fun of them. So we did, and to make a long story short, we ended up at the Marion Baptist Temple. When we went to the Marion Baptist Temple, we were amazed at all that was going on. It was like this church. It was very, very busy. I mean, there was a bus ministry. There was soul winning. There was the fair ministry in the tent that they had set up there showing the film, The Burning Hell. There were soul winning ministries in the church. And we found that if we were going to attend that church, we were going to have to be very active and very busy in that church. It was amazing. It was a beehive of activity, much like Berean Baptist Church is week after week after week. But when we went off to Bible college then, after God called me to preach, and we went to Bible college, we later on, just before we left, a porn business opened up in town, a adult bookstore, and they opened up in town, and just as we were leaving, we heard the pastor was preaching about this, and it was wicked and vile, which it is. So these people decided, this church decided they would start sending people to picket the adult bookstore. Now, again, I'm not saying that was a wrong thing necessarily, but here's what happened. They got sidetracked because they started picketing this porn shop, this adult bookstore, and all of a sudden, they weren't running as many buses anymore. All of a sudden, they weren't soul winning like they used to. All of a sudden, that place that was such a beehive of soul winning and getting out the gospel, now they're spending their time with picket signs at an adult bookstore. And you know, it was not long, and we found out that the church had gone down and, in fact, was sold to an American Legion. This was a big, good-sized church. And the building was sold to an American Legion. And the place where I surrendered many of the things in my life that had to go, and when I surrendered to preach the gospel, where the altar was became a dance floor at the American Legion. And, you know, that's what happens when you get sidetracked from the main things of life. Now, again, I'm not just talking about soul winning. I'm talking about the main thing, and that is serving God. That's any area of serving God. We get sidetracked sometimes. We get off on other things when God offers us a great opportunity. God offers us an opportunity to serve Him. Now, you know, there are lots of ways to serve, and certainly our jobs are very important, and people have to work, and you got to put food on the table and all of that, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about when you have an opportunity to serve God, Satan will always find a way to keep you busy here and there. I'm thinking about folks that used to be involved in Vacation Bible School, but Satan has a way to keep you busy during Vacation Bible School. I'm talking about people that are involved in the bus ministry, but you were so involved at one time, and Satan found a way, not necessarily a bad thing, but he found a way to keep you busy here and there, and now the bus ministry is just in the past. I'm talking about people who used to be involved in the fair ministry. You used to sit at the table and win people to Christ, but somehow, some way, Satan found a way to sidetrack you from an opportunity to do something great for God. I'm talking about people that used to be willing to work nursery, people that used to work in other ministries of the church, people that you know years ago that you were supposed to work with the shepherds, and but you got busy here and there. And again, I'm not saying that the thing is necessarily a bad thing, but I can tell you this, that anything that keeps us from His thing, it's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. And here the man of God tells the story to King Ahab. Ahab makes up this story, made himself a part of the story by looking like a soldier who had just fought in a battle and who was wounded. And he tells the king, you know, I had an opportunity to serve my country and my king, but I let the prisoner go because I was busy with other things. And the king said, thyself hast decided it, now your life for his life. But the tables got turned by the man of God. And he said, no. He said, that's exactly what you did, King Ahab. You let Ben-Hadad go. You made a covenant with him. You could have stopped him. And now, Ahab, you must pay. Why did you do that, Ahab? Well, I was busy here and there. Maybe he's saying, I didn't have time to really think about it. Maybe he's saying, well, I was influenced by other people. I don't know what he was really trying to say here. The point is, he neglected his duty because he chose something else over his duty. He was sidetracked. Our number one duty is to serve God. It is why we are left behind on this earth. You say, well, I like to have fun. And everybody likes to have fun. There's nothing wrong with having fun. But if it's in the way of doing something for God that you know you can do, you know you can do. It's like I said this morning, there are no unimportant jobs for God. Every job is important for God. Everything that we can do for God is important. And our duty, our opportunity is to serve God. By the way, this is very, very important here. Verse 39 says, life for life. To guard this man, life for life. God's work's important, folks. God's work is absolutely essential. For a Christian, it's not an option. I've said this many times during the month of July, and that is, we're all He has. We're it. Okay, it's God's people, it's Christians. He's not going to tap into the vast resource of this world. He wants His people. We're His workmanship. But we get sidetracked. And what I'm saying is, it's a wasted opportunity. And wasted opportunities come and they go. You see, humanism teaches us, and we've all been influenced by humanism in this world. We hear it day in and day out, and we've gotten where we're not even alarmed about it anymore. We just kind of let it suck us right into its trap, and it is the worship of self, and this idea. Well, I want to have fun, but you're not what it's all about. fun is okay, and fun is fun, and we all enjoy having a good time at times, but we are to serve and glorify our God. It is an opportunity. But we get sidetracked. We get sidetracked. I preached about the fact that coming to church is not serving God. It's getting fed so that you can serve. And I think we all understand that. But there's all these things that sidetrack us, all these things that pull us away from serving God. You know, I just like to have a good time. You know, who says serving God's not a good time? We had testimonies tonight in our men's prayer meeting of pretty good times at the fair tent, at the RU booth, and just being around God's people, being around other Christians. Amen. I mean, even though our tent was right by this one ride that they don't know what to do with the bass sound of their music, we still could have a good time. And we had some sweet fellowship there. I'm just saying, who says serving God's not a good time? Well, you know, I believe we need to spend more time with our family. And I'm with you. Amen, brother. Amen. And serve God with your family. Amen. There's a novel idea. Well, my kids don't want to. Then who made the kids the boss? Oh, you did. I'm sorry. But, you know, who says? Who says? I have fought this thing for years and years and years, you know, about youth serving God. And I thank God for our young people. We have some young people that just love serving God. I got to see somebody's phone a little video of human pinatas. Never even thought about it. What a great idea. We had two human pinatas, David and Paul Potter. And, you know, there they are. They're out there with all this stuffing and candy and pillows. And I don't think any of that was really you. But they're out there, and they have all this candy inside them. And the kids all line up. And on your mark, get set, go. And then they run. And candy's falling everywhere. And there they are. They're the human pinatas. I was wanting to hit them with a baseball, but no, not really. But you know, get all that candy out of there. And I thought, you know, here's young people. Yeah, here's young people out here being human pinatas. And I'm watching other young people serving God. And praise God for that. But you have to understand, there's a lot of young folks say, well, if it's not fun for me, I'm not interested in it. That is a bad attitude. You are never going to be able to do anything for God. You won't want to do anything for God if you have an attitude of, it's not fun. You know, moms and dads, you know, well, we need to know what they're going to do at this activity. I want to make sure it's fun for Poindexter. I want to make sure Throckmorton's going to have fun. Who says they're supposed to have fun? Now, it's good to have fun, and it's fun to have fun, but how about just, look, let's take advantage of the opportunity. The Bible says to our young people, says, remember thy creator in the days of thy youth. And I can tell you, you know, it is very true that going out soul winning isn't maybe not as fun as breaking the world record in Pac-Man. I know you don't do Pac-Man. I don't know any of the games. But I have no idea. I probably got it years ago. But I doubt it. But you know, video games and all. Oh, yeah, but this is great. Yeah, but serving God is great. And as long as we have a mentality and attitude that we can so easily be sidetracked with a lollipop or with some kind of fun or with some kind of a game or something like that, then how will we ever get anything accomplished for God? Because the young people that grew up thinking it all has to be fun and games, they're now the adults that we need to serve in the fair tent and in the ministry at Berean Baptist Church. Right. And so the Burger Kingers, the Burger King churches, you know, say, hey, you don't have to do anything. Just come and sit and soak and have a good time and have it your way. Hold the pickles, hold the lettuce. Special orders don't upset us. All we ask is that you let us serve it your way and we'll just have fun together. And people flock by the droves and the world goes to hell. And that's exactly what's going on in our world today. Because we get sidetracked. We get sidetracked making money. We get sidetracked with fun. We just plain old get sidetracked. Sidetracked. We need to teach our young people to serve God. Amen. It is the most joyful thing that we can do. Again, I didn't say it's always the most fun thing. Margot, and I know she doesn't mind, she made reference to some pretty tough times. You do sometimes get the idea that everybody is going to roll out the red carpet because we are in full-time Christian service. If they do roll out the red carpet, it's because at the end of the red carpet, there is a ditch for you to fall in. It's not always fun. It's not always games. But you heard her sing a song that God put on her heart. That's real. You see, that's real. That's a song God put on her heart. And guess who that song was all about? It was all about him. Why? Because she's having a lot of joy in serving Jesus. It's real. I have to perform. She wasn't performing. She was pouring out her heart to you. Now, that's the result of serving God, and there's joy in serving Jesus. There's really joy. And you know, and just like this prisoner, it's so sad because all of a sudden, he's gone. And all of a sudden, our opportunity is gone. Here's what I'm seeing. Is this the last year we can have a tent at the fair? Is it the last year? I don't know. I hope not. Is it the last year? Is this the last? You know, every week that goes by, okay, here another church has a bus accident. Are they going to outlaw these things? Or are they going to make it impossible for churches to run buses? You say, preacher, that would never. Well, wait a minute. How many years ago was it down in Kentucky? Church bus got hit by a drunk driving a pickup truck. And where did the law come down? On the church bus. Now, again, I'm not against any kind of safety. I'm just saying Satan knows what he's doing. And we have all these opportunities. We have so many opportunities. And is it going to be like this prisoner? All of a sudden we look around and we, wow, that's gone. That opportunity is no longer here. We can't do this anymore. Do you understand there's forces trying to keep soul winners off the streets? Wow. In America. Oh, yeah. But right now, we have that opportunity. I'm just saying, you know what happens to parents all the time? All of a sudden, you look up and they're adults. Wow. What happened? I was just holding them in my arms and they're adults. Listen to me. Teach them to serve. Train them to serve. Train them that it's fun to serve God. Train them that filling up a water glass for those on the platform, that's a way you can serve God. Train them that picking up a piece of paper that is laying on the parking lot or trash in the front yard. Teach them that when you see that, pick it up. You can serve God that way. I'm just too busy for all that. Teach them that there's nothing more important than serving God. It is the most important thing. You say, oh, my kids just don't want to. Do you let them make all the decisions in the house? Well, we don't force them. Yeah, but you force them to obey you in other things. It's just, listen to me, we have got to teach by example. You know, people that gripe and complain, here we go again, another sign-up sheet. You know, your kids hear that. And other people's kids hear that. What a pitiful, pitiful. What a blessing! Another sign-up sheet! Woohoo! Yeah, because it's another opportunity to do something for God. Another opportunity. Yeah, but preacher, I'm busy. Yeah, but you're busy here and there. You're being sidetracked from what's the most important thing. The most important thing. You know, to me, it's a waste that somebody can score the highest amount of points in a video game, but they've never done really anything for God. I'm not saying video games bad. I'm just saying, what a shame. What a shame that, boy, you know, we can spend hours and hours and hours on Facebook. I don't think it's necessarily, there's a lot of good that comes from that. But I'm just telling you, but you never really do anything for God. And there's so much to do. Kid can play football. Guy can play basketball. Guy can play baseball. Whatever it is. A girl can do a cartwheel, but she's never experienced what the young people did out in the park with bus kids today. It's such a shame. Amen. Amen. Such a shame. Never. Has no idea what it is to help a little bus kid. But we're just busy. We got this and we got that. And pretty soon, the opportunity's gone. Pretty soon it's gone. You know, it's time to serve God. It's time to serve God now. And again, there's no greater family activity other than family devotions. No greater family activity than serving God together. Amen. Amen. Boy, that is good stuff. Good, good stuff. A lot of things call to us. Money calls to us. Success calls to us. Worldliness calls to us. We just need to serve God. We really do. Because one day that opportunity is going to be gone. I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus? I promise you this. I promise you, when the rapture takes place, it's got to go through our minds. It has to go through our minds. As we age, you know, and well, I can't do this anymore. I was telling the men in the men's prayer time, I did some physical labor the other day. I was working with David Potter, worked for about 4 hours. And boy, it caused me to pray for guys my age that do that kind of work, because I'm telling you, I thought I was going to die. I just, you know, I'm a pastor. I sit at a desk most of the time. I study, and I put in lots and lots of hours, but my body doesn't do that physical stuff. And I told Dave, I said, David, I'm sorry, I got to take a break. You know, he's working along and he's having a good time, and it's like he didn't do anything. You know, and he worked hard the whole time, and I'm going, oh, you know, and so it, the reality, you know, there's limits now. I used to be like him, no limits. I'll work me 24 hours. It's okay, I can handle it. You know, bless God. But it's, you know, there's limits now. What's that mean, preacher? Well, it means some opportunities are gone. 55 years old, there are some opportunities that are gone now. Some of you, you know, you're older, and you know, you say, but you know, I'm just I can't do something, and that's true. The opportunity now is gone. But here's the thing: what opportunity do you have today? What opportunity do you have this week? What opportunities do you have? I think of some elderly ladies sitting in the nursery, just rocking a little baby. I mean, I don't know what the needs are. I've never worked nursery. I know you're shocked. But I have no idea what the need. But I, in my mind, I think, you know what? Other than the holding the baby part, I could do this. You didn't get that, did you? I mean, I can do this. I was going to say I can rock a couple of teens. Yeah, y'all, all right. But no, but I mean, it just seems like there might be some ladies that could go back there and do that. And you say, yeah, because I can't go be like Kathy Morin. I don't know how long Kathy Morin's going to be able to do what she did, but if she's not there, who is? Every hour, there she was. Every hour. But who's going to take her place? Who's going to do it? But then I think, okay, you say, well, I'm just too old, and I understand that. But couldn't you sit back there and just hold a little baby? Little Throckmorton. Hi, little Throcky. Oh, you're so cute, Throcky. Oh, so that Throcky's mom can sit in here? Huh? I'm holding the baby wrong, I know. I forgot. Dave, come on up here. No, that ain't going to work. That would not help my memory at all. You know, what opportunities are going to be gone? like this prisoner was gone. I ask myself all the time, am I training people to serve God? And you know, we train people for sports, we train them for jobs, we train them for music, we train them for so many homemaking, we train them for, but are we training them for Jesus? We're trying. We really are. And it, because this is an opportunity. Do you ever wonder who's gonna preach to you when you're in a nursing home? Who's gonna preach to you when you're elderly and you can't do these things anymore? Who's gonna be the ones that'll teach the classes and go to the tent and preach and go soul winning? And who's gonna run the activity? I was so encouraged by the bus activity today, because it was run by youth. I mean, old people were out there, but it was run by youth. I say old, they're not that old. But praise the Lord for the youth who are taking advantage of the opportunity, because one of these days, it'll be gone. I don't know how many times I've talked to elderly folks, either in a nursing home or a retirement community or something like that, and I've heard them say, I've wasted my life. I don't want you to have to say that. I don't want you to say it. If God is speaking to your heart about something to do for Him, do it. Amen. Don't get sidetracked. When things come up, you see it on the calendar. Don't let anything get in the way. Nothing get in the way. I mean, unless you can. You know, if you're going to die, you can't stop that. If you're going to be sick, you might not be able to stop that. But I'm just saying, do everything you can to take advantage of the opportunity. You see, King Ahab failed. He failed with his opportunity. We just have one life. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Your money in the bank, it'll burn. Or the money you owe, those will burn. Your property, it'll all burn up. Your fame will be a flame. Amen. It'll be gone. All that stuff, none of it lasts. None of it lasts. So many people, they have no fruit, but they have a fat wallet. How sad. How sad. Serving God, there's nothing greater in all the world. And it's not an extra. It's an essential. Training them. That's what Berean Baptist Academy is all about, training them to serve God. I know there's a lot of people think that's not the biggest thing. Big paycheck's the biggest thing. I'm going to tell you this. Serving God is the biggest thing. Because you might make $100,000 a year, and then the Lord come, and where is your $100,000 that you made? Because when the Lord comes, we go and it stays. But everything I did for the Lord, if it was giving a glass of cold water in His name, amen? If it was whatever it was in His name, it lasts through all eternity. I say that to you because I love you and I want you to hear the Lord say, well done. We make up all kinds of excuses. Basically, what we're saying is we're busy here and there. We're busy here and there. Oh, I hate to end. But, you know, one day it's going to be too late. One day our opportunities will be gone. I've thought about it a lot. I'm, you know, going through the book of Revelation and you know, it is just an amazing, amazing book in the Bible. We've gone through it pretty in depth. And, you know, to say the end is near, I'm not going to start carrying a poster around, the end is near, you know, or any of that kind of stuff. But the more I see that's going on in our world, the more I believe it is near. With that will come our opportunities. And the price we'll have to pay. Let me ask you a question. If soul winning, if giving out gospel tracts, if that type of service for the Lord, if they said that was a crime, what would you do? What would you do? You say, oh, bless God, I'll keep on going. Well, are you doing it now? I would venture to say if we're not doing it now, We definitely would not do it when there's persecution. You say, preacher, you're trying to scare us. No, I'm not scared. I just see that our opportunity and opportunities are slowly going away. Hey, bus workers will tell you, it's not like it used to be. It isn't like it used to be. And opportunities, slowly. Age, slowly. Opportunities are going to be gone, just like this prisoner. Are you busy here and there? Are you too busy? Do you find yourself, you know, sign-up sheet come, you don't even look at it, don't even pray about it, don't even, oh, I'm just too busy. Maybe you're just too busy. If the first thought that comes is, I'm too busy, maybe you are too busy. Maybe you need to unbusy some of the things that aren't important and busy on the things that are important. Let's all bow our heads, please.